Welcome back and welcome to a brand new series of Coming Out Stories from What Goes On Media. I'm your host, Emma Goswell. Since we started this podcast way back in 2018, we've interviewed nearly 100 people from across the LGBTQ plus spectrum and from right across the world. There's been laughter, there's been tears, and we've met some extraordinarily brave people along the way. We've heard a lot of talk about parents on this podcast. Let's be honest, not always flattering, but we've never heard from parents themselves. Until now. For this series, we're turning the concept on its head and hearing from those people who are on the receiving end of the coming out conversation. Normal service will be resumed next series, but for now, it's time to meet the parents. First up, you're going to hear from Supermum Annie. She's the proud parent of a 7-year-old daughter who came out to her as trans. Here she is telling me all about B.
My mum always described her as unique. She was just different. I always said she was like a little old man. When she came out, I looked at her because I had a C-section and I watched it so I could have that connection. You know, you hear these stories of people saying they just felt floods of love, and I didn't. I just was like, oh, it's you. I know you. It was like a recognition. Like we'd always been friends. Yeah, she's just a very unique creature. She's brilliant.
And how old is she now?
She'll be 7 in a couple of weeks.
Oh, right. So still really young. And it sounds like in those 7 years, you've both been on a bit of a learning journey together.
Yeah. Well, I had a fantastic mum. And throughout my life, the things that were difficult in my life, she just believed me when people didn't. And that saved my life. So I decided when I had kids, I would just believe the things that were important. So, yeah, we've traveled together. Yeah, I've just always sort of gone with what she wanted to do. And in hindsight, I think because I'm not feminine was the reason why things didn't show earlier. But when I look at pictures, they did. I just didn't think anything of it because I was just a bit like, wear whatever you want, do whatever you want.
And what were the first signs for you then that maybe B was going to be trans or questioning gender at least? Yeah.
The first big one, but then I look back, there was more, was when she was 3. There was a shop closing at the town where my mum lives. I was there with my friend. And I just said, well, do you want anything? It was a posh shop that was going, you know, they were shutting down. So everything was really cheap. And she said, can I have that? And she pointed to this spotty red and white flamenco-y type dress. And I was like, well, are you going to wear it? Was my main thing, because it was spending money. And she just said, yes. And she did. And my ex-in-laws didn't do very well with it. But my family were just like, okay. And then she just wore it all the time. And it's quite raggedy now. So she wore it to nursery. People didn't really think anything of it. And then she just asked for more skirts and more. And it kind of just gradually went down. Then she wanted girls' pants and wanted to design clothes.
Oh, creative then.
Yeah, so we would design them together. So she would pick material. And I'm fortunate that I've got friends who are in the sort of low, sort of more quirky fashion industry rather than the raw. So they were able to send me material and we designed the clothes and make them together. So she made a Thomas the Tank Engine skirt because she was like, I like Thomas the Tank Engine, but there's no skirts.
Do you know what? That's so unique, isn't it? I love that. That's really non-binary, actually, isn't it? A Thomas the Tank Engine skirt. How cool.
And then like a Thunderbirds one and space ones. And so I just kind of went with it and it just kind of went from there. And then we moved house. When we moved, she just said, I want nothing that's to do with being a boy. I don't want any of my boys' clothes. So she did that at school. When she first started at school, because she's quite into routine and what rules are, she thought she had to wear boys' school uniform. But she wore pink hair clips, she wore pink Doc Martens and wore girls' pants.
But you said she went to primary school and no one thought anything of it. Did nobody say
that? Nursery school. It was a really big nursery school. She's quite sure of herself. So the bullies never really bullied her. She used to get quite cross about the bullying that happened because the nursery school she went to was so busy. So if it happened, she would stand up for them. And sometimes she'd just say they kicked me in the face, but I just kept on getting up because they were hurting such and such. But they didn't get at her. I remember we used to live in a flat which had a communal garden, which was great. And I started recording her because she was just being a badass. And these girls were going, well, girls don't wear dresses. And she was like, well, they do wear dresses. Girls and boys can wear dresses. And she was saying, well, my daddy doesn't wear a dress. And she was like, well, how do you know? Maybe he does. And she was just justifying herself. And then she outed me for my giant nappies for my period to the whole place. Because she was like, sometimes grown up wear nappies. And I was like, oh, brilliant. Really glad that you just outed me as well. And I had it on recording as well, which was... But she's always, because she was just like, not fussed about it. If people said you're wearing a skirt, she'd be like, yep. She's just never been bullied.
But that is probably, I mean, I'm no psychologist or expert, but it may be because you were so supportive. And, you know, I've spoken to a lot of trans people who, as soon as they mentioned something when they were very young, they were told, that's not happening, that's ridiculous, boys don't wear dresses, boys don't wear skirts, be quiet, you know.
Well, that's what her dad did. Her dad said, boys don't wear dresses, you are wrong. And I shouted for that. And then his mum said to me, you know, you can walk around with a boy in a dress, but I can't. So she would allow her to dress like that in her house, but not out and about. And she'd say this in front of her. So she's had that. And as a result, she's cut her dad out of her life. And actually, the courts won't allow her dad to see her because of this behaviour. Although he's sort of trying. He refuses to call her by her pronouns, and was caught telling our youngest, her little sister, sorry, to call her a him. He was saying, it's your brother. And she was 3 at the time. And she was like, no, it's my sister. And he was trying to get her to say it. And so it's really quite dark, manipulative stuff. And then the accusations were that I was making her dress as like a form of child abuse, like Munchausen by proxy.
Well, I mean, I remember back in the day when the tabloids were even worse than they are nowadays, and the mainstream media was even more anti-trans. And that was always the accusation, all these awful parents, and it was always mothers who were told off. Yeah. The mothers are making them wear dresses or making them dress in the wrong gender. It was always the women, the mothers, wasn't it, that were blamed.
I was thinking that this morning, and I was just like, you just put your pants on for school, and they won't. And it, you know, I can't get them to clean their room. I can't even get her to sleep in her own bed at the moment. She keeps on sneaking into my bed. And I even have some family members saying, you know, it's fine, but don't let her do it outside. Don't put it on social media. I mean, I'm not on social media anymore. I haven't been for a couple of years, but I wouldn't put like, this is my son wearing a dress, but she'd just be in photos and dresses because that's what you wore. And people saying, don't do that. Don't let her outside and do it. And I'm like, why? Because I am subconsciously telling her that who she feels like she is wrong. And I didn't want to give her that kind of feeling. And both my kids are very sure about themselves.
How do you think you had that understanding straight away? Because, you know, a lot of parents haven't had that and have been really confused or...
It's not my life. Not me. It isn't my life. I can't stop someone in the street and say, you know, that dress looks stupid, or why are you wearing that? This isn't my life. It's their life. Even if it was a phase, you know, I would have let them have that phase. For me to, you know, to kind of see them as an extension of me, other than when they're rude in public, which they aren't. It's that kind of, I just never thought of it as being my business other than to kind of encourage and protect who they were. Both my kids have there's no body dysmorphia. There's gender dysmorphia in B. I mean, P is a cisgender girl, very girly, very long hair that she won't really cut and loves hairstyles, but she's a motorhead. She loves, always wants to be a race car driver. Always. And she's got a set of drums. She's brilliant on the drums. She and I listen to Queen records and she hammers them out. But she's also, she does like pink and she'll turn things. She likes to play where she's the mummy and I'm the baby. So she has a real kind of mixture. But I was into cars when I was her age. And then B is she loves books. She loves dress design, but she also loves trains and rockets and space and science. So both of them just kind of like everything.
But you probably agree that neither of those things should be gendered anyway, should they really?
Yeah, well, that was something she taught me. She's taught me so much because she would look at signs. She learned to read really young and she'd be like, why is it boys and girls? And she was kind of like saying that, like, duh, it's things, it's objects. Why are you genderizing them? But she just blew my mind because she's completely right.
Yeah.
We do have men's and women's stuff, but there's less of it.
She sounds like she was born with a very wise head on her, like you said.
Yeah, she is. I mean, she's an old soul. I mean, the things she sat with are so profound because I kind of want her to understand the difficulties. I mean, I always tell the difficulties of being a woman. They came on the suffragettes march with me when P was a baby, and B at that time was wearing, she'd just come back from rugby in her pink trainers and butterfly wings. And I always talk about that, but I've said, you know, it's going to be hard for me and P, but for you, you're a trans woman, it is going to be a tougher challenge. And she said, I know. Because I say, look, a lot of the people don't care. There is a small percentage of people who do care and they shout the loudest and they are the most unkind. And she says, like my dad. And I said, well, yes, you have that. You'll have the people that do that. We were sat in the car because they talk in the car. And she just said, do you wish you'd never met dad? And I was like, no, because I've never had you guys. She just said, but if you hadn't met him, we wouldn't have existed. We wouldn't knew we existed. We wouldn't miss you. You wouldn't miss me. We wouldn't know. And we wouldn't be going through this pain. So it wouldn't affect us. And I was like, And I was like, and I just went, I still choose you. I always choose you. But afterwards, I was just had to sort of steady myself because that was her thought process. And that's how she thought about it. And it wasn't about me. She wasn't like, oh, but you didn't have me. She acted in a way that kind of adults can't think. And it just blows my mind.
Very philosophical.
Yeah. It shows she thinks about stuff a lot.
So that must have been a difficult few years, I guess, when your ex-partner was just not accepting her gender at all. Very difficult to live with, I guess.
So that has been that bit's been hard, but I've just sort of stuck to my guns and I've stuck listening to my mum and listening to sort of, I mean, we've always been transparent with all the agencies involved in our lives. The school have been great. We live in a tiny school. So they did things like recently they changed the toilet system. So it's just years. There's no gender on the toilets.
Oh, wow. And they did that because of me?
Me, and then they said there'd been another school with a non-binary kid and they'd done a similar thing. So they thought it just makes sense. And she is stealth now, so she doesn't want people to know who don't know her. And she can get away with it. So she has her hair in plaits. And then we sat together and we designed trans pants, mini trans pants for her, which, again, I use my fashion friends to help me, which have got sort of meshing in so it flattens. But then it's got like memory foam, so it isn't uncomfortable. So it kind of gives the illusion of girls' parts if some horrible child was to lift up her skirt out of curiosity. Mm. And she said when we put them on, she was like, I look like I've got a nunny, which is what her and her sister call it. So she wears them. I've just made her a few pairs of those and she wears them. And then I also made them like sort of cycling shorts as well. So she feels a bit more comfortable then. But it just looks, if you lifted up her skirt, you wouldn't see anything. Not that anybody should be looking at my children's genitals, but you know, it's that for her, that's what she thought. And I kind of had to go, right, this is what you're worried about. How can we fix it in a way that is non-intrusive, really discreet? So that's what we did.
It's interesting that that isn't out there, that, you know, the big manufacturers aren't thinking about this, are they? You're having to do your own sort of thing, aren't you, really?
I do happen to know people who own an underwear company who I'm really good friends with, and they sort of said, this is something we would like to do, we just haven't got the time. And I said, well, let's talk again. And what I'm doing is working with other families of primary age kids, because a lot of primary aged trans kids, it's not unheard of. And we're trying to create literature and things like that. I've been speaking with a local fashion school and want to basically encourage trans students to help out for the kids as well. And with that, I'm just going to give them the template that I made up. So rather than selling it, the idea of having a big company and selling things makes you want to weep, but giving them the skills to do it themselves and go, right, this is it. And also getting them to sit down. Because I only have an experience of a transgender girl. I don't have a transgender boy. And say, okay, you tell us what you need. You tell us what you think about in the morning when you go out and get dressed. What is your fear? And then just take that away, but give them the skills to do it. Because I don't know. I mean, I know I don't like people thinking about my boobs because I've got big boobs. That's the first thing I do is I try and cover that up. Mm. But I'm lucky enough to be in the right gender. So I can't imagine what it would feel like to have that.
So it sounds like the school that Bees at is very progressive and understanding. So they never questioned pronouns or there was never any issues with not calling her by the name she chose?
Well, no, because it was her nickname before. It's always been her nickname, so it's quite easy. The issue we had was because I was so terrified of their dad and the accusations he was making, I didn't give her which I regret now, I didn't give her the sort of the knowledge of transgender but non-binary because I was so frightened that he would say that I'd done it on purpose. And actually it was a teacher who said it because she sort of did these drawings and drew her body and said, this is my body, it's a boy, and then drew her heart and said, my heart is a girl, therefore I'm a goy. And so then she went to the school and she stood up and said, please call me a goy from now on. So the teacher would go boys and girls and goy. And then I realised that actually by being so scared of him, their dad, not saying anything, that I was isolating her further and making her think she was the only person who was like this in the world. So then we went home and we researched every gender fluid individual. I mean, she loves Queen anyway and Freddie Mercury. And then we looked at David Bowie and we looked at, like, there was a surgeon in the 17th century who they only found out was male when they did her post-mortem. And I know it was always like a male role, but it wasn't. It was more than that. That's how she felt. And it was just, we just went sort of nosediving into it. She keeps on asking if we can watch RuPaul. And I said, there's too many bad words. And then she was like, why can't they just make the honking sound like they're doing Below Deck? And I said, because it would just be all honking sounds. You wouldn't be able to hear anything that was happening. For her, if she sees, if we walk around Edinburgh, if there's a shop which has got the Pride flag, she'll shop in there. She prefers to go in there. And it's something she's drawn to. And if there was one place that had trans friendly, so she ran in and was like, can I have a drink, please? I'm trans. Which is a cafe. So she loves finding her people and her tribe, and she loves talking about it with people she feels safe. And she's really clear that she wants her story to be something that helps others like her. I mean, your podcast really saved me, because when it was lockdown and all this was happening and I was getting all these accusations from family, and not very many family, I listened to all your stories, and none of them kind of were like, oh, I didn't know at this age. All of them knew. And so many were stifled, and the damage it did. So for me, it really, really helped me go, I'm doing the right thing, because you do need that.
I think pretty much, I mean, I've spoken to people that have come out a lot later in life, but pretty much every single person I've talked to has known from the age of 3 or 4, as long as, which is basically when you can remember from, isn't it? So it's all, it's your living memory. You always know, I think.
Well, that's the thing. When you learn, when you study children, because I work with children in my work. So I've done lots of modules and studying of children in biology. That's the age kids know gender. 3 years old, they know gender. Mm-hmm. So why challenge it when they say that they're not the gender they have been assigned at birth? That's your opinion then, going, no, you're wrong. And it's really interesting that they kind of say that's what a child knows gender. It's such an underground world of so many people. And when I went for support in this area, the kind of hoops I had to go through to prove who I was because of the dangers was devastating. And there's so many. And then there's all these people who are cisgendered, and not all the cisgendered people, but some people who are kind of just don't like this. They like the normal people. They like people to look like this. I mean, I get grief because I've never been like girly. It's not who I've been. I've always been quite driven. I've always dressed like I've found my clothes in a dustbin. And it's just who I am. I've not been, I cut my own hair. I don't wear much makeup. And I've always been critiqued for that.
The thought that always goes through my head when these conversations is like, why do other people care so much?
What does it matter?
What are they bothered about? Why are they threatened in some way by what other people, how people choose to identify or who people choose to love? I've never, ever understood it, I have to say.
No, neither have I. I don't get it. And I just, I've had some of the parents in school have been really great. Some of them have just been, that's fine, but they don't really talk about it with me and have sort of gradually got there. But the ones I really liked were the ones who said, I don't get it, please explain it.
Yeah.
And I really liked that because they were like, oh. And I just said, the only way I can think about it is think about the thing that you hate most about yourself, the thing you're most self-conscious about. Now have a conversation with someone you've just met and they keep on pointing it out to you over and over again. That is what I imagine it must be like for my kid when you gender them wrong.
Yep.
You were just pointing out the one thing they hate the most over and over again. And they were like, oh, yeah. I was like, oh, you're at a party wearing an outfit that shows your stomach or your is too tight. But imagine that's every single day. And it's your body. And that's the way I think to do it. And it was really weird. The other day, I called her brother, which I haven't done for like years. I was like, oh, where's that come from? And it was really weird. She was like, don't worry. You can make mistakes. I was like, oh, where has it come from? Because for a long time, she was grother. Before she became sister.
I've never heard of being a grow or a grother.
A goy or a grother. Well, that was her beautiful brain to go, okay, I'm not a boy, I'm not a girl, what am I? And I hadn't given her the information. I then, bought every book going and...
Well, that's the benefit now, isn't it? There is so much more information out there. There are great books out there for kids. Has she met any other trans kids then at all?
Yeah, well, so the books-wise, there are some. That's why we're working with these families. There's some. It kind of goes from, like, this is Ben. Ben likes to wear a dress. This is Kate. She has short hair. Straight to sort of 16-year-olds.
Right.
There's a bit in between, the primary age in between, because, like, B was like, where's the books about the girls with the penis? Where's that?
Mm.
So she's met them online, unfortunately, because of all the meetup and the groups. So we've met a lot of kids online with Zooms. And then there's a really good podcast. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's called How to Be a Girl by Marlo Mack.
No.
And it's an American woman and she followed her. So her daughter is now 13, but when she was 3, she started talking about being a girl. So I started listening to that and I contacted her. So she and I email and she's under a pseudonym as well. So we listen to that together sometimes as well. And that's really, and that was great because she basically acts the same as every trans girl I know. Although she's the only one I know who's just not interested in boys or girls. She's just not really fussed. She kind of said she doesn't want kids because they seem like a lot. She said they're very noisy and I won't be able to do what I want. And I was like, yeah, that sounds about right. I'll be a fantastic aunt. And I'd like to live near you, but not with you. I was like, that suits me. That suits me down to the ground. But she just doesn't seem to be interested in partners. But I wonder if it's because of what she witnessed with her dad. Because for a long time, she didn't want to grow boobs. She's very aware she doesn't want to have a beard and she doesn't want her voice to get deeper. And we're on a very long waiting list for gender support.
Okay, so, but you will go down that route. She wants to go down that route.
Yeah, she completely. Yeah. So she hasn't changed. She's never gone back. She's scared about getting a deep voice, scared about being hairy.
So she will want to take puberty blockers then?
Yeah, yeah. So she will. The GP she has is great, and she said, you know, there's tablets you can take, so that's quite good for her. But for a long time she didn't want boobs, and then I learned it was because of me, because I've got such big boobs, I have lots of sores and I get lots of attention, and she didn't like that. But then when she learned that she would never have that, her little sister might be blessed with my enormous breasts, but she won't. She'll have trans boobs, which will be smaller, and they'll look natural, but they'll be smaller. She was like, okay, yes, that's what I want. But she just hadn't had the experience of normal sized whappers. So they put the fear in her, as they do in most people. yes, she very much doesn't want her voice getting deeper. I think we've got another year and a half on the waiting list. We did try and go private just so she could speak to someone, but her dad banned that in court. God. So she just has like play therapy. They're just ill-equipped. I mean, I can look up stuff for her, but she just needs a person who's a professional to go, because she's really into science. She loves like the Surgeon's Hall and the Anatomy Museum. So she looks at how the body is made. And for her, it helps her understand something. She understands how it works. So if she has an accident and it's bleeding, she totally understands why that happens, what it means to the body. So she likes to get stuff like that. And so she just needs professional help. And I'm learning everything I can, and I'm going on courses, but I'm not a professional in the area, and she needs that.
It's such a long waiting list, isn't it? It's, you know, yeah. Up and down the country, it's the same story. It's really difficult to transition, isn't it? It's a very long process.
And I'm very lucky that she's so young. If this stays the way it is, she will never get a deep voice. Her shoulders won't broaden. She won't get an Adam's apple. She won't have to have the surgery to go back, which is so much harder.
Yeah.
And it's harder to hide. You can't, it's so much harder to be stealth if you have to kind of live with that, especially with the voice. I mean, I've not talked about bottom surgery with her, because it's not even an option until they're 18. It's not something she needs to think about. Mm. She has already said she wishes that she was born with a nunny. She wishes that she'd been born a girl. But a lot of that is to do with the fact that she recognises that her father would accept her more. And I did say to her, would you think about being a boy again so he'd accept you? And she said, no, I'd rather never exist. So God. It's the power of what she is stronger than anything else in the world. I mean, in our life, she just, you know, her bedroom's covered in butterflies and unicorns and...
Great choice.
Yeah, she does look like a drunk unicorn's vomited on her. like bright, you know, disco lights and glitter and makeup, which has been a learning curve for me because I don't wear it. So I've been having to sort of learn makeup and watch Glow Up with her and go, right, this is how it's done, and nail varnish. And so it's definitely not, it's nature, not nurture, because... I'm just not a girl.
Sounds like she'd love a pride. Have you managed to get to any yet? Or?
Well, we had a mini pride. We had a mini pride, and we invited all our friends, and we did like face painting. And she encouraged everyone to do a ceremony. So we had a Kelly kettle made hot chocolate, and she handed everyone a piece of paper and said, everybody put something on the paper that they want to forget about. So she drew pictures of trousers. Trousers for her are very symbolic. In the very few times she did with her father, he would dress her as a boy. And then once she decided to wear all girls' clothes at school, we had this incident where the school did a school play and asked her to put trousers on. And she got really upset, and they thought she was being dramatic, and she wrote to them. And I was like, I think we're all underestimating, she was five at that point, the importance of her when she decided not to wear trousers anymore. It wasn't trousers. This was symbolic. This is a big thing. And we kind of were very blasé about it. And they were like, it's just a play. And she was like, it isn't to me. So she did all these paintings of trousers, and then like one of her best friends, he did Bad Thoughts. P put spiders in there. She was three at the time. And then afterwards we all talked about it. And that was the point when she sat down and she said to everybody, from now on, please never refer to me as when I was a boy, because I was never a boy. Just say when I was little. Just say when I was small. And it was really lovely. So we had it in the meadows underneath Arthur's seat. Oh. And I was pushing them in this little bike double trolley, and they were holding out the trans flag at the top. And it was just really lovely. So yes, she'd love to go to a proper pride, but there's nothing... It was just, everything was shut down because of COVID, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was really, wasn't it? Well, it sounded like you made a good effort anyway without having to go to this pride. But so she wants to talk about it and have all the glitter and be part and find her tribe, but she also wants to be stealth then. She doesn't want...
So she wants to be stealth for people who don't know her.
Yeah.
So she wants to talk about it.
Yeah.
But she's aware that people... She's had the glimmer of darkness from her dad and her dad's family. Mm-hmm. So she knows that some people don't take it well. She's very savvy. I mean, she said, I'd like to learn karate or kickboxing or something so I can know how to fight. She just knows. I mean, I don't show her stuff. She does want to read the Pink News, and I kind of have to edit through it to try and find something that she can read on there, because her reading ability is amazing. and her understanding. So she does know. And I've sort of said, well, what about we all do kickboxing together? Because it's quite good for, you know, getting centered and stuff. I don't want to dissuade her, because actually I think the ability to fight, I mean, her, the fact that she's confident and knows who she is helping her. The fact that she's smart will help her. She's also very sociable. She's got a lot of friends. She knows how to be a good friend. But being able to kick ass would also be advantageous for both my daughters.
Absolutely.
My youngest is like Villanelle. She's going to be fine.
I think you have just called your youngest child a serial killer.
She's a beautiful, smart serial killer. She will. I have to do a disclaimer when I put her in the nurseries, because she is very smart, very mischievous, very savvy. She's very kind and loving, but I am glad I'm on her right side, put it that way, because she's very, very, very defensive of her big sister. And they're very loyal to each other as well. I mean, they still kick the shit out of each other all the time, but their determination to protect each other is so like above and beyond. It's great. But yeah, so she wants to talk about it, but kind of
in a safe way. She doesn't want to put herself in danger.
From what I've learned about listening to other children like her, they do go through the stealth phase. Mm. And I think it's to do with school. I think it's to do with new people. I think it's to do with what they hear, because, you know, gay is still used as unkind terminology. And where we are, it's the people are lovely, but it's very middle class farming community. I mean, the parents have been fantastic, but I think it is a real struggle for what's been ingrained in them.
In a way, because I always talk to this with LGBT people, like quite often as LGBT people, we have to educate our parents, but yeah. You are the parent, and it sounds like you're then having to educate your community, because, you know, they haven't got lots of trans people, have they?
No, there's one non-binary child in the area who's a similar age. I mean, the community has been good. My mum has been amazing, but she is an amazing human. Bea really wanted a girl's world for Christmas, and mum, at the time, she was a boy, so mum changed it to boy's world. So my mum's been really good, and she and my dad and stepmom have been really good, and they're the ones who I think find it the hardest to understand, because they're a bit more ingrained, but they have tried really hard, and they slip up with the pronouns a lot, and they keep on saying, I'm so sorry, and I'm like, don't beat yourself up, this is a new thing, but you are trying. That's what Bea says. If you try, that's all that matters. It's for people who don't try. She has a limit, and once that limit's reached, she's just like, nope, and won't talk. I mean, she won't talk to her paternal grandparents or her dad. And when I've said, why don't you try writing to them? And she said, because I have told them. And she has. She's written to them for years. And it's the same thing over and over again. She's like, I'm not saying it anymore. I have told them. And I'm like, God, you're stronger than I am. I still pathetically stand in the corner trying to scream.
And you said you weren't sure about that they didn't really want to have a partner. But, I mean, they are only seven, aren't they? I mean, that's something that might develop.
Yeah, that's something I've said that. And I've not got a partner. I mean, I get people like keep on saying to me, just give it time. And I'm like, or I'm just going to not have somebody, and that's okay. It's not, can it just be okay? And they can't, people really, really struggle with that. So I have that. I'm content being on my own. I didn't have a great relationships. So I do have lots of friends. I've got brilliant friendships. But also, I don't feel that need. I don't feel that need to be with somebody. It doesn't bother me. And maybe, I don't know, maybe later on, maybe when I have the kids, but I just, it isn't something I see as missing.
It's not something you're going to chase, no.
No, and I have a really full life. I get like the companionship from my friends, and it's male and female friends. And I just don't have a kind of the thing that I miss. And that's, so I'm wondering if that's why as well. Maybe she kind of gets that vibe for me.
It's funny, isn't it? People do get judged all the time, don't they? My sister was the same. She never really had partners, and people, like my mother, was always trying to send her like dating things out of the newspaper and all sorts. Yeah. It's like, why? She's happy.
And you have to justify it. And it's a bit like coming out all the time. You have to kind of put it into the room first. And if I have a male friend, they question it, and it's kind of, it is that kind of thing of, no, I'm single, no, I'm fine, no, it's not because I'm desperately sad and lonely, I just not thinking about it. It's just not something that I'm, and if I do meet someone and it happens organically, that's great. It doesn't even come into my radar, so I wonder if that's why. I mean, she's talked about being a mum. She doesn't talk about being married. I think she'll probably just find a seed from a willing man. Knowing her, just do it herself.
It's interesting, isn't it? Unless you fit into the stereotype, you know, a cisgender woman, you need to be in a man with a man, then people question you, don't you? It's mad.
Yeah, and not wearing dresses and not just I don't really fit into any category, I've found. But it doesn't bother me, it bothers people more, other people more. You know, they sort of say things like, aren't you gonna try and do this, or aren't you gonna try that? I'm like, why? And then they kind of see if it as a problem, and I'm like, I'm okay.
Back to this again, like people just can't stay in their own business, can they?
No, and they can't. And if it feels, they feel uncomfortable with it, And they'll sort of like, if we have people over for a family do, they feel like they have to invite another person so I'm not sat on my own. I'm like, I sit on my own every night. Well, I don't. My children are usually limpeted to my face. But in my times of freedom, it's like going out. Yeah. I love going out for meals on my own. I always have. And holiday on my own, even when I was with partners. It's quite handy, actually, if you go out for a meal on your own, because they think that you've been dumped or something and they give you free drinks. But and I people watch and people are like, you're okay? And I'm like, it's great.
I'm fine. I feel like I could talk to you all day, but we should so I was just thinking that normally when I speak to LGBT people, I say, you know, would you have any advice for your younger self? But it's just been fascinating hearing about V. She sounds like the most incredible young woman. So would you have any advice for any other parents that have a trans kid or a non-binary kid and don't really understand what's going on and feel a bit confused or, you know, unsure about what to do? Because it sounds like you were very headstrong, and even though your partner was very anti-trans and didn't understand it, you kind of had that self-belief and knowledge, didn't you? But what advice would you have to anyone else that didn't feel so confident, maybe?
Well, I anticipated a question of this ilk, and so I asked B this morning. And she just said, you know, she said the worst bit was her dad being told that she was wrong, being made to wear the clothes. And that put the fear in her. I think that's the whole trust. And she said, just listen. So for me, it was, I didn't have that much knowledge. I remember thinking when I was younger, how can a six-year-old know? So just listen. This podcast, like I said, really helped me. I went and did courses. They're not that expensive. And it's all to places like the Proud Trust or LGBTQ Youth. So the money's going into great places. Just learn, educate yourself, speak to people, ask people, because I just knew I was listening to my kid. But for me, knowing I was doing right, because you will get accusations, you will be accused of awful things. I will go for any therapy, anything like that. I will speak to anybody because that helps. Get help yourself. Speak to your GP, look up, I mean, Mermaids is good and they can direct you to people. There's loads of different, and that's, I'm not going to say smaller ones because smaller charities I know have less protection, but Mermaids is the one that is most protective and they can then direct you, an LGBTQ youth. So you know that you're not on your own and you're making the right decisions, because when it is, admittedly, a lot of the stuff I got was accusations that maybe I was doing it wrong and I was making her life harder. And that in itself is such a cruel thing to say, that I would do anything to make my child's life harder. And this path that she is, it's not that she's chosen, this life path that she has is going to be hard. And I'm just going to be there running alongside, trying to protect her. And while she's trying to protect me, because that's the kind of girl she is. So if you have doubt, they will pick up on it. And that is the main thing. My children have no doubt about who they are. And it's because I had the support from my mum, from other people around me going, no, you're doing the right thing. So you need that to be a better parent. Don't assume that you are the best thing. Assume that you kind of have an army, ask for help and listen. Listen to your kids. They're not idiots. And they pick up on so much stuff and they remember it. Trust me. They remember the things you do when you promise anything or say anything wrong. And courses and things like that. Just anything. Help is good.
Gosh, and talk is good. And it sounds like you're both talking a lot. And, you know, hopefully one day get to meet you in the flesh and go to a pride with you and me. I think that would be incredible.
I think that'd be awesome. We have a big trans flag on her wall, which is huge. It's like a boat. So I will wear that like a cape.
The wonderful Annie there. And I mean that, I would love to meet Bea and take her to her first proper Pride event. Although, by the sounds of it, she would out-unicorn us all. Right, I haven't mentioned our book for a while, have I? Can you believe it has now been out for a full year? It's simply called Coming Out Stories, and it's 27 of some of our favourite stories from the first couple of series. If you go to our website, comingoutstoriespodcast.com, you can find out a bit more about the book, and there are also links there to purchase it too. Right, next time round, you'll hear from Jackie. She found out her son was gay when he was just 12 after she found something that he'd hidden under his bed. Oh, yes.
I had to say to him, why have you got this magazine? Which I thought was a bodybuilding magazine initially.